The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Now. Hi, this is Jill Bent from Austin, Texas, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 268 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show, fresh off her second Boston Marathon, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, I thought we should spend a little time talking about what happened. We're recording this on Tuesday, the day after the marathon. We thought with everybody, you know, giving you so much support, we should hear from you and talk about your experience. So welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very sore, but not too bad. I wanted to give a shout out, and that is to everybody who encouraged me. I had so many Facebook posts and Twitter congratulations, and I was really very overwhelmed in our Mickey Milers page, the Mickey Miles Podcast, and just on my regular Facebook page. So it really, really meant a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. And Mike, you and I discussed this. This is not a general running podcast. It's not a Boston Marathon podcast, but if you want to chat about it for a few minutes, I'm very willing to do a little discussion about the Boston Marathon.
Well, I think let me play interviewer a little bit. And I mean, I think a lot of the listeners have done Disney races, and you know, getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock, and you know, pulling yourself out of bed and getting to the start, and then you start at 5:30, 6:30, whatever, and for a half you're done, you know, in about 40 minutes, and for a 10K you're done in about an hour, for a half you're done in about 3 hours or so, and for a full you're done in about, you know, anywhere from 5 to 6 or 7 hours, depending upon how fast you are. But for this particular race, you got up at 3:30, then had to go all the way to Boston from New Hampshire, got to the Spalding Rehab Hospital bus at 5:15. The bus took off at 5:40, and you got to Hopkinton.
You're not really interviewing me. You're telling
No, I'm just telling everybody. No. Listen, no. And then you got to Hopkinton, and you had to wait till about 11:15, and then you ran, and then that's a long day. So how are you able to do that?
Well, first of all, when I say I live in New Hampshire, it's only really like a 40-minute drive from, you know, from Boston. My charity was Spalding Rehab, and they had a luxury bus for us to travel out to Hopkinton. And I'll tell you, it is a long way when you realize that you're traveling. You have to run all the way back to Boston when you've been on that bus for a while. It is a very different thing, and there are a lot of considerations for this race. Because I was starting so late, I really had to think carefully about how I was going to fuel for this race. When you're doing a Disney race, I don't usually eat anything, you know, before the race, or eat very little for a 6 o'clock race start. But 11:15, I couldn't go without having something. And we were at the senior center in Hopkinton from about 6:30 till about 10:30. Just kind of sitting around. And so I was very careful. I had some protein bars, and I had some applesauce. And about 2 hours before the race, I actually just stopped drinking and stopped eating. And then I wasn't in the corrals for that long. It was probably a half an hour at the most. They let us out there. But I just really, really had to be thoughtful about what I was going to eat and when I was going to eat it, and know that, you know, I was really going through breakfast, lunch, and kind of almost dinner time without a real meal. So all I had was just the protein bars and then the goo. So it was interesting. And then, of course, the other factor was the weather was awful. It was rainy pretty much the whole time I was out there. You've never seen so many garbage bags, people in garbage bags. And I, you know, really took a long time to think about what I was going to wear and how I was going to keep the rain out. And in the end, it rained almost the entire time. I had a hat on. The rain was just pouring off my hat. And I thought I had kept pretty dry, but by the time I was done and I, you know, peeled my layers off, my clothes were just sopping wet, so heavy sopping wet. So it was a challenge. It was windy, it was raining, it was spritzing, and then it was downpouring. The real feel of the temperature was 38 degrees. And so when I stopped running, I started shivering right away. So it was a lot. It was a challenging race.
Yeah, there was a lot of runners who I saw yesterday when I was in Boston. They were just shivering, and I kept on thinking, when Michelle stops, that's when the cold is going to hit you. But you persevered, and I'm very proud of you. And I don't know if I could have done it. I mean, just going out there to meet you at the finish, I was just amazed at the weather and how nasty it was. And I'm thinking, holy cow, she did this for 26.2 miles. I mean, it had to be the most brutal race of your running.
Well, I mean, even without the weather, the hills are just amazing. I mean, you're just up and down and up and down. And I was actually talking to Eddie McCoy about this too. And I, you know, my marathon was very slow. He said after he did it last year, he knows that Boston is not a race where you get a PR. It is a very, very tough race. So the hills up and the hills down were just really, really tough. But it took me a while to get the chill out of me, but I'm very happy that it's done. And Mike, as you know, there are just amazing stories of inspiration that come out of these races. There's one woman who lost her leg in the marathon bombings, and from Texas, and she and her guide ran the marathon, and she just collapsed and at the finish line in tears and said, "This is where I take my life back." There's a gentleman who I passed who had muscular dystrophy. He started the race at 9 a.m., so really before the elite runners, and finished 20 hours later at 4 o'clock in the morning. So just the human spirit is just amazing. And towards the end of the race, it looked like, you know, people were going through a war. I mean, people were limping. It was very, very tough, but... there's also an energy in Boston that is unlike anything I've ever experienced. The whole weekend, it was just, you know, people in their running jackets and their supporters, and it's just electric. I mean, I just feel really privileged to be part of it and to have earned my purple jacket. And I'll tell you one thing about these long races is you really have to be mentally tough. Right. I kept on saying to myself, probably after about mile 16, I kept on saying, "You are strong, you are tough, you can do this, you can do this." And I was saying it out loud, and it was a very tough one.
You know, we've grown up in this area, and we know what it's like. It's very hard to probably convince a lot of people about how important Patriots Day is. But there is no doubt that it is the most important day of the calendar in the entire year. There is no other day more important in Boston than Patriots Day. You can have New Year's, you can have July 4th, Christmas. It's just amazing. You're absolutely right, Michelle. I mean, Boston is a pretty exciting town, city, but on that day, it's like everything is just elevated, and it's just amazing, and it's also very exhausting. At the end of the day, I'm sure you were pretty tired. I know you were tired when we, you know.
I was starving. Most day, yeah. I had the best pizza and beer at the end, so yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah. I think I'm not gonna set it in stone, but I think that's probably my last marathon, or at least for a while.
Yep.
The training is just. I want to do other things too. I love running. but happy that I signed up for the 10K and the half for for January Disney.
Give it a rest.
Yes, and, yes.
We just wanted to say a couple words because a lot of people were sending us email and posting on Facebook saying, could you please say a little bit about what happened? So
can I tell one funny thing that happened before we transition to our topic today? So, you know, I came down Boylston Street. That's the last leg of the marathon. I hadn't taken I had my phone with me, hadn't taken it out. I was in a Ziploc bag, kind of packed in a belt in the back. Took it out at mile 25 to call my son Liam and say, hey, I'm a mile away. I got really teary-eyed. So I'm heading towards the finish line, and it's locked down at the finish line because of security and things like that. And I look up, and who do I see? Mike Scopa, just before the finish line. And I did a double take, and I said, why are you here? And somehow you made your way onto the finish line, and you greeted me. That was really nice.
I just dropped Eddie McCoy's name, and they let me in.
That was funny. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. So anyway, thank you for being there and for cheering me on.
Yeah, and just an aside, if you go on, I don't know if it's the Mickey Miles page or the Mickey Miles podcast page, but Bill Taylor posted a shot of you crossing the finish line.
And there's a shady character.
And there's a shady character just above the S in the finish line. And that shady character is yours truly, filming Michelle, you know, as you were crossing the finish line. So that was kind of cool. I thought that it'd be kind of cool to do that. So, and it was nasty. So, anyways, congratulations. Very proud of you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to turn now to the show, and we're here to do some questions. And I don't know how many we'll get to, but we're going to start off with Michelle reading the very first one.
Sure. It's from Van H. Edwards from Fayetteville, Georgia. He says, hello, Mike and Michelle. Greetings from Fayetteville, Georgia. My wife and I will be running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon this year, and we're very excited. Thanks to the link you posted on Facebook, I was able to get right in after 12 p.m. and registered both of us quickly. I have a question about compression socks or calf sleeves. Do either of you use these? And if so, what is the benefit? I've been running for about 10 to 15 years. I've never tried them, but I wonder if they would help keep my legs fresher and ward off jelly legs on longer distances, like half or more. Thanks for your show. Can I tackle this one, Mike? Mm-hmm. I actually ran, well, before, about 2 days before the race, I actually started wearing my compression sleeves because I think the research is mixed on whether or not they're beneficial. I was actually talking to a newer runner yesterday about this. I think you just have to go with what works for you. I have found for me that if I start wearing them before the race and then actually during the race, it makes my legs feel fresher. I mean, I had hills galore and my calves feel fantastic today. I'm not having much of a difficult time going up and down the stairs. And so I wear them during the race, before the race, during the race, and then after I'll wear them a clean pair to bed. So it helps me. I have never used sleeves. I've never used them on my arms, or just on my legs. Mike?
Yeah, I've never really read any scientific data on, you know, what compression wear does. I've worn them. I started wearing them, I think, the year that I was training for the back-to-back half marathon. We did the Chippendale, and I would wear them Saturday after running and then Sunday while running. And my thought and my philosophy, my theory, I guess, is that they allow your body to replenish and nourish your legs, bringing oxygen, you know, bringing the blood there much quicker, because maybe somehow if your legs are compressed, it's a lot easier for the blood to bring you nourishment. I have never heard, Van, of anyone saying they don't work for them.
I've heard people say that they're not really sure.
Yeah, well, they're not sure. Yeah, but I haven't heard. You know, I think that it's a matter of doing something. I would say go on a long run, put them on, and then see how you feel afterwards. And if there's a difference, then you know they're for you. They're for you. But it's one of those things. Excuse me. It's one of those things that I would never say, don't try it or try it. I would say, you know, you have to think about, you know, what you're looking for, and if you think this would help, then by all means, I would try it. Give it a shot and let us know how it works for you.
Okay, next question.
Next question is from some lady named Melanie Camphouse.
A very dear friend of ours.
Yes, very dear friend. And Melanie has a good question because I think it's on a lot of people's mind. Can someone remind me how deferrals work? I really want to run during marathon weekend in January, but I can't tell yet if it's going to work out. Does anyone remember the cost timing of doing a deferral? Is it automatically granted if you pay the money, or do they have to review your reason? Do you get deferred to any future race, or would it defer to the following January? Thanks for your help. Smart teammates. All right, Michelle, I'll let you answer this one.
Sure, that's a great question. And I kind of wish that Run Disney would publish a policy about this, because I think it's kind of a moving target. There is a date for each race, which is sort of like the drop-dead date that you can't ask for a referral. Like, you couldn't do it 2 weeks before. But I think as soon as you realize that you're going to need a deferral, that you should contact Run Disney. Just send them an email. And it seems to be on a case-by-case basis. I think that typically they will defer for the same race for the next year. But if you made a case and said, look, I signed up for January, but I can make Wine and Dine next year, they will allow you to do it. Again, it depends on the time. If it's 2 weeks before the race, a month before the race, I think your chances are slimmer. Now, the cost to do this, Mike, I want to say it's $40. I'm not sure exactly. It's about $40. So it's not cheap. They don't just let you transfer from one to the other. And, you know, I think you do have to have kind of a good reason that you have an injury or something like that. But you will have to pay, you know, the difference between the race fee and the deferral fee in addition. So I would say as soon as you know you're going to defer, let them know. And we've done that before too, Mike, haven't we?
Yeah, Melanie, one time, I don't know what, I think it was Wine and Dine, Michelle. We could not do Wine and Dine, and we had to defer. And this was several years ago. And again, you know, I agree with Michelle. There should be something, and I've been looking on the site to see if there is something that says exactly what the policy is. At that time, we had to actually pay for the following year before we would get a refund on the present year because of the way their systems work. This might be another active.com issue. But I think that for January, I want to say that, Mel, I think that it's right around November that the deadline is for deferring. So keep your eye on the event page as we get closer and closer. But I know that I speak for Michelle when I say we want to see you in January. So we're hoping for the best.
Okay, the next question is from Mary Scrapper. And she says, what is the link that Fitz has for the Mickey Miler listeners on her website? I can't find the link for the show notes. So, Mary, I'm not really sure what link you're talking about, but you can go on fitsness.com. And then Fitz also has her own Facebook page where she posts her challenges and things like that. So I would definitely like her Facebook page. And she's also great if you send her an email, too. So if you want her contact information, you could just post it on Facebook and she'll get back to you. She's fabulous. We love Fitz.
Yeah, that would be where I would go, too. Our next question comes from Tom Krog, who says, hello, Mike and Michelle. My family and I are going to do our first Disney 5K at the Jingle Jungle 5K. Do we need park admission to do this race? Thanks. Tom is from Rockland, Massachusetts. Michelle?
Yeah, no, you don't need park admission. They charge you enough for that 5K. Yeah, so you will run through the park, but you'll be done well. You're not going to linger until the park opens because the finish is outside of the park. So if you are planning on going to the Animal Kingdom later that day, you'll have to have a regular park admission, but not for the race. The race gets you through the park.
You know, Michelle, I was just thinking.
Uh-oh.
As the prices go up, okay, as the prices go up on these Disney races, who's to put it past Run Disney to say, yeah, we're charging you $250 for a half marathon.
Oh, don't be so cynical.
But that includes a park pass for that day.
I hope not.
You might see that.
Because so many of us have annual passes or DVC.
I know. But anyways, no. That's me. All right, next question, Michelle.
All right, the next question is from John Maloney, who says, first of all, congratulations to Michelle on her second Boston Marathon. Yay, thank you. And thanks to Michelle and Mike for all their work you do to bring such a great Disney running information to all of us. I've been a listener since day one and enjoy the great content and guests. Why, thank you, John. I was listening to a recent podcast question about trail runs, and I wanted to add a few comments as a first-time trail runner. I've been running for 3 years now, and I have done 9 road half marathons and 4 marathons. My 10th half marathon was a trail race, and it happened to be my first trail run of any kind. It was an interesting experience, but I definitely wasn't quite prepared for what was to come. My advice for new trail runners is to try a shorter trail run prior to taking on something as long as a half marathon. I started out with my typical intervals, but as we moved from the road to the woods, it became harder to maintain. This was especially true as we came to heavy routes and streams to cross. At about mile 5, some long uphills began, I learned what it meant to do long walks up them. I completely abandoned intervals and adapted to running when I could and walking in the tough spots. Some other quick items of advice are to get running shoes geared for the trails. I was fortunate enough to have done this, and it was a big help on the steep descents with lots of rocks and roots. The downhill stretch took a toll on my legs that would become more evident later in the course. Finally, I would have enjoyed it more if I had taken the beginning more slowly and better gauged my pace. Near the end, I was doing much more walking than running, and I was grateful just to finish. I'm not sure whether I'll attempt another trail race anytime soon. As a road runner, it definitely takes some adjustment in mind and approach to get the most out of this type of run. Keep up the good work for the Mickey Miles podcast. And that's from John Maloney from Hershey, Pennsylvania. So thank you, John. I think, you know, we are going to be talking about that very soon with some trail runners. And I think that's great advice that it is a whole, you know, it's a whole nother way to train, but it's mental preparation's different. The gear that you need is different. And you can't just switch one to the other. You know, I think it sounds like you need a whole different level of fitness and different muscles ready to go.
I agree. I one of the things I wonder about this, Michelle, is can you go back and forth? Is it dangerous to go back and forth? And I'm looking forward to doing a show on that in the very near future. Our last question of the day comes from Joseph Graf Hull. And Joseph says, howdy, I'm looking at the Jeff Galloway Marathon Training Time Improvement and see some training runs that say 4 times 1 mile or 10 times 1 mile. What is that? I don't see an explanation in the overview notes anywhere. Thanks for any help. Well, Michelle, you've done e-training with Jeff, and okay. Let me see if we can do some. Wow. Well, Michelle, I think we may or may not have talked with Jeff about this. Do you have an idea what this could mean?
Well, I think we need to have Jeff on the show again soon, but my understanding is that, and I believe I asked Jeff this question about my own training, is that this is work that you do when you're doing speed work. So you're going to go as fast as you can for 1 mile, take a small walk break, and then do it again. So you're going to do that 4 times. So 1 mile as fast as you can, take a short walk break. 1 mile as fast as you can, take a short walk break in between. But we'll ask Jeff the next time he's on the show.
Yes, we will. And that does it for this, a little bit of an abbreviated podcast, but we wanted to talk to you, Michelle, a little bit about your experience and also throw in some questions. So once again, congratulations. And again, to everybody, thank you for those questions. And happy training, and we will see everybody in the next show. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar.
Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.